Historical Society. Did that help you to come to know the island better, or how much time did you spend out prior to moving here?
Well, see, his parents moved here in 1944, mm-hmm. and so we've had connection with the island ever since then, so it wasn't just learning all at once.
Right.
And after his dad died, we used to come every Thursday to the island to do whatever his mother needed to have done. Mm-hmm. And so we've, like I say, we've had connection with the island since 46, actually, or 45, I guess.
We planted all these trees out here except this one. My dad planted this one here, but mm-hmm. the rest of them we planted, and the garden, we put the fence up around it, and we've done all that. We've done an awful lot of things here on this property.
Mm-hmm. So we did know, you know, some of the older people that have been here forever, and mm-hmm. and let's see, Russ Kamen worked at McNeil, so Earl knew him
right.
through work too.
Right.
And so gradually we got acquainted with the people here.
Mm-hmm. Kamen family is quite a family that we've got interested in.
But then, with the newer people, we do get acquainted with them through the Historical Society, mm-hmm. and that's really the only organization that we're really active in. Well, Earl's in the church.
Yeah,
in the original
enjoy
church.
Our little church up here, the community church. Mm-hmm. I go there every Sunday, and then from 9 to 10 o'clock, and then we all go up the Riviera, and they have tables set up for us up there where we mm-hmm. have
breakfast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so that's interesting. I like that.
So, what makes you so interested in continuing to do the Historical Society work that you have been?
Well, it's just been such a great group of people up there.
Yeah.
And it's. Mm. And I like display. I've always liked display. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that's kept me busy and happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got the first presidential award from the Historical Society. Mm-hmm. And this is an award that's given by the president, not the board or the membership or anything. It's
right.
the president chooses someone. So this is the first one, and he chose Earl and I. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I don't know whether I want to share that honor or not, but I said, I couldn't have done what I've done without Earl, because, mm-hmm. you know, something needs to be done. Earl, there needs to be a new railing here, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
But he wouldn't have done what he's done without me.
Right, so
that's about right. Yeah. Right, so perfect team, right?
Yeah.
I've made many trips down here to the shop to saw a board or build something or repair something. I repair all the stuff up there for them.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I felt really bad because there's so many people that deserved it more than we did, I thought. Mm-hmm. And Bob Nelson and some of them, you know. But one day I was up there, been up there 3 times that week, I think, and I said, I don't feel so bad about getting that award now.
No. I think you really actually step back and think about what all you do.
Yeah. Have you ever been around the ponds, the trails go around?
Yes, I have.
Well, we're the ones that put all those signs
all
up.
All the signs up?
We put in the 4x4s, and she did all this. And we just walked the trail the other day. We found out we misspelled a word very badly, didn't we?
Oops.
So we're going to have to change that one.
Well, I'll just make a new one, yeah. And you know, it's great to see progress being made up there. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But we're getting awfully tired, so I don't know how much we're going to do in the future.
You know, and it comes to a time, my brother Gene said he used to go up there for 5 years. He used to work up there, but that's been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, and sister-in-law, Vivian,
yeah, she did.
What do you call it? Charter member.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
so she don't go up anymore. She's done her job.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that I'd kind of like to get, you know, I like the work parties real well because I like the fellowship and then the meals and all that stuff. There's parts of it I really like.
But you kind of like to work alone?
Yeah.
Or with a certain person,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, with Bob Nelson. What I don't like to do is, like, up in the number two chicken house, they gather back in there and most of them stand around and talk while the rest of them are doing some work, or else three or four people are doing a whole job that one person can do, and I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got a whole bunch of brush up there. It's my job to burn it, but I'm going to wait till winter, till it rains, and
no one shows up.
And the burn ban is off, which I don't know, it's going to be a long time before it's off, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty dry out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. Who are some of the people that we knew in the beginning? That's still here. Sylvia,
mm-hmm.
Eric, and some of the older people. Some of them you knew, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Some of the guys. Some of the old bachelors that lived around here.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of, well, Christine Anderson, of course, she was a great person. We knew from every time we would come over to visit, our kids would always go to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to Sunday school no matter where they were. I mean, if we were out camping someplace, we went to the nearest church and they went to Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
I think they went, 5 years without missing Sunday.
So none of them go to church or Sunday school or anything anymore?
Jim does.
Except Jim, yeah. Now, there's a kid. Now, see, he was brought up Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
So he married Naomi, which was a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really know that. I don't know. Anyway, they came to live, here, and we got them to join our church there in Steilacoom, which
mm-hmm.
is Protestant. Well, we thought, we didn't know that
Naomi was Catholic.
No, I knew she was Catholic.
Well, we knew she was Catholic, but she joined this church.
Yeah.
Well, then, finally, she got Jim to become a Catholic.
Oh.
As soon as she did, well, then...
I think, oh, there, that's fine. And then our grandson is Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we've got a little bit of everything.
Everything. In
religion, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes a nice mix, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, through your work there, the other day at our meeting, you had mentioned the story through the finding through the web, the internet, that someone had remembered about this building.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the fish building. What do you find things like that every once in a while that people just bring up
mm-hmm.
that no one really thinks to think about until someone just kind of.
Yeah.
So does that drive you to look into those more, and what kind of things have you found that?
Well, I haven't really gone as far as I should with this, even the fish thing, you
mm-hmm.
know. But he's really interested in coming to the island and seeing where it was and talk to some of the people that remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And I still see, I haven't gone up and looked through the pictures, the contest. The photo contest pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't looked through them to find this
mm-hmm.
yet. So, see, I have just kind of all kinds of things going.
Right.
I have too many things going.
Going on to be able to make sure you follow up on these things.
Yeah, I really, really haven't followed up on a lot of things I should. But, what was I going to say? Lost it.
Lost it. But is there any other things that you remember people just kind of offhandedly remarking on and finding out that it was something kind of significant to the island?
I can't think right now, but I'm sure there have been.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I really, I've got to be good friends with Mike Cammon,
mm-hmm.
and I've gone to Mike Cammon's house. Have you been in Mike Cammon's house?
I remember going to Mike Cammon's house when I was very, very young.
Well, Mike Cammon is like the rest of the Cammons. The Cammons were not good housekeepers at all. And they
that's all
they,
right.
They save everything. So you go in Mike's house and there's a path that you can go in and kind of walk around.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it's just junk. And he don't throw anything away.
And you walk up through the woods, and he's got old cars and boats and everything stashed up in there. They're all never run again, but they're all up in there. And
it's very interesting.
Very interesting. And we had a man when we lived at Manson. His name was Burton Turk. We got him to come over here, and he built a little sawmill right up here, which isn't there anymore. The Berries have taken it over, but he had one of the first sawmills here on the island, and they called it Thick and Thin. Burton's Thick and Thin because it'd be a 2x4 on one end and maybe a 5x3 on the other end. His old saw wasn't very good. And there's still things around with his lumber that fell out of his lumber.
Uh-huh.
And then he went over where Mike Cammon's place is, all those houses, and he built a little house in there, and that's where he was when he died, was over in there.
Mm-hmm.
But his little house is still there.
Yeah, he was from Manson. He was an orchardist.
He was,
And so Earl's dad thought that he should come over here and set up a sawmill, so he did.
And when my dad died, Burton, he come and kind of lined my mom up a little bit. Boy, she didn't like that at all. She didn't want any part of that.
She didn't want any part of any men.
No.
After that, no.
How long was his sawmill in operation?
Oh, several years. I don't know, 6 or 8 years, probably.
Huh. Uh-huh. Now, his house was interesting, too, because he had a stove and a bed and, a chopping block?
A chopping block. He chopped his wood right beside the stove, and he even would use, he didn't have anything in there, any furniture. He had the bed, and he had apple boxes stacked up. He had food and stuff in,
mm-hmm.
but he'd chop the wood there and the chips and everything around there. It's one of the, it didn't catch a fire or something like that. But that's the way he lived, was in a
little tiny
house. Shack.
Mm-hmm. Huh. So do you have any other memories of like Jane Cammon and, you mentioned the other Cammons, I mean Mike and stuff, but.
I never knew Jane very well, just would see her around the island is all.
Mm-hmm.
And
somebody we know, that I've known for many, many years is Betty Mae Anderson, Betty Mae and Randy.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have a place down in South Pasadena, and I used to go, when I retired, our daughter was still in school, so she used to let me take trips, and I'd go down and visit them, and
mm-hmm.
Bob was down there a lot of times, and that's where I learned a lot of this art type of a thing was through Bob and
mm-hmm.
and that family down there, and they had a loft and they had a studio there at the loft, and I had a place I'd sleep up there in the loft, and then the studio they used to sell stuff in there. She was also a weaver and had all that stuff, and now here at the farm upstairs in the farmhouse, there's a little child's loom up there that she donated, and she did some weaving on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that upstairs is really interesting. The things are up there because they're all mostly things from the islands, and that's the thing with the historical society and the house and everything in there. We know where so much of that stuff came from.
Mm-hmm.
John Lure, go back to him. He lived on McNeil.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a bootlegger.
Yeah.
And you know this story?
No, I just...
Well, you know the still.
Dennis showed me the still.
Okay. Okay, on McNeil, did he have a little cave that he kept his...
There's an island off of, I think it's called Pitt Island, right out from Lure.
Uh-huh.
And he had a hole back in there and a cave back in there, and that's where he had his still there. And when the revenuers would come, they'd always look around his place and they could never find it.
Mm-hmm.
And
he also had his still here, too. This was right here on this place.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a well out here, right? There's a 6x6 and 40 feet deep. And he went down there and put a subfloor, and he had a still down in there, and he had a pipe that went up through the roof, and that's where he'd make his stuff. And there's a lot of stories about John because he used to take his stuff downtown and sell it. And he had a suitcase he'd
settled in.
Well,
they'd wait for, they figured the right time, and then they'd go and catch John when he was heading downtown. And he'd open up, says, "I just got my clothes in there." Well, he was lucky, he didn't have anything in there at that time. He never got caught. And the house that was here that my dad bought from, when he left here, why, in the kitchen, between the kitchen and the living room, there was one of these tall mirrors in there. And he come back a few days later after he sold the house, and he took a screwdriver and unscrewed that, and he had his good stuff back in there. There was a real good homemade whiskey back in there. But in the basement, the old dirt basement, he had all kinds of old jugs and jars and kegs full of stuff, too, that we took down. Because my dad didn't drink, none of my family drank, so we took it down here.
That wasn't any good anyway.
And it wasn't any good anyway. It was all rotten stuff. So.
But the story is that he would, this still, the well was actually in the woodshed. And he would have his chopping block and stuff there, and he, when he would cover it up with chips and stuff, you know, so the still, so the floor, and he'd sit there and whittle and tell him, "Well, you just, you're bum beefing me. I don't do that." Well, he was sitting right on top of him.
Right. Funny.
Yeah. So then, when he left here, he moved down to what's the Anderson house now, the bed and breakfast, and he took the still with him. So it was in the basement down there, and then they donated it to the Historical Society. So we got to get somebody that knows how to do it, or find out how to do it and get that together, you know,
set
so that you can see, set up so that you can see, yeah. But I've just been kind of waiting till they got through with that room back there, because they've got so much junk scattered all over in the front part of that.
In the building that you can't really get in.
You can't. The space that I want is to the left of the door as you go into that building. And
That's interesting. So other than that one time, was there any other time that he was in danger of getting caught?
Well, he never did get caught.
He never did get caught.
They tried a lot of times, but he just
So they never found his still, and they never caught him with it in the suitcase going to town either.
So he just peddled it on the street, or?
He started over at, that time he'd start there at Stillicum and peddle stuff over there too.
Now, Cy Happy tells me that there used to be a tree, and that the bootleggers, now whether it was John Lure or not, I don't know. But they would put their whiskey in this hollow tree, and then people wanted it, they would come and they would take it out and leave money. So that was here on the island.
On the island? Do you have any idea where?
I don't have any idea. I have to ask him where, if he knows where.
At McNeil Island, you know, before that was, you know, that was all civilian except the prisons are. But they used to make that over there too, and I one time I was over there, and right down at the base of a tree was a bunch of old bottles showing up, and I dug around in there, and there was homemade whiskey in jars too. But some of it had frozen and broken, and but there was still stuff there that was bottled.
Bottles and left there.
Yeah.
Very interesting. You know, the prohibition kind of is—it's interesting to me. You know, the whole what people would do to get around it—it's just funny.
Bathtub gin. My uncle used to make bathtub gin. He'd make it in the bathtub.
How do you make bathtub gin?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. I guess he knew.
That's funny.
Bob. Eric, we knew him real well.
And he had a store out here, right?
Right down there where White's is. That used to be Bob Eric. They had apartments.
And the parents lived before him, too.
Yeah. And they had, I remember, you know, a store there and everything else. That was the only, there was only two stores on the island. There was one there, and then
Lyle's.
Lyle's. But Bob was a jack of all trades. If there was any, if you needed anything
mm-hmm.
repaired or whatever you needed,
yeah, he could do anything.
He could
welder,
whip it up, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. What? So, what was his store? What did it consist of? It was just grocery items, or
he had a lot of groceries and everything. Yeah. You know?
Hardware and stuff too.
But then he did. He had hardware and everything. He was. He was the one that built all that stuff down there,
mm-hmm.
buildings.
And Mrs. Eric used to live in the house right in front there. And then she decided that Bob and Sylvia and the family needed the house, so she moved upstairs above
the shop.
The shop.
Mm-hmm. It's the shop now, the barn.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she would run the store,
mm-hmm.
the older lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we remember the ferries when they had a 9-car ferry. And at that time, everybody went up in the pilot house instead of riding down our cars. You go up and sit up there and watch. And they had a guy named Og. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Og was a pilot of this little old 9-car ferry.
Uh-huh.
And he'd sit up there on his stool and he'd drink till he'd fall off of his stool.
Oh,
the ferry would be taken off like that. Well, Vivian up here, she was just a girl,
uh-huh.
and she used to go up there and take over and run the ferry and come into the dock here at Anderson Isle, which is a different dock. And different
Are you ferry serious?
I'm not serious. And the first trip over here, she was running the ferry then, and she hit the dock a little bit hard, and one of our kids, Jim, was out there and had a hold and slammed the door in his hand, but it didn't hurt anything, but... That's a memory because, and she used to run that ferry an awful lot. Yeah, she'd run that ferry.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I had, in Hazel's book, she makes a mention of having someone had passed away and everyone, even the crew and the deckhands and everything were taking their sip of whiskey in his honor.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the night, they were headed towards Eagle and kind of missed the landing.
We've been on a lot of those, and you don't know where the ferry's going. It looks like it's heading for 6th mm-hmm. Avenue sometime, and they'd finally get it straightened around.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to be going to the dock here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Couldn't imagine anybody getting away with that now. That wouldn't go too well.
I'll tell you another story. About his dad mm-hmm. was always a procrastinator. So when it came time that he wanted to catch the ferry, first he had to change the oil or something, you know.
Uh-huh.
So he was always rushing for the ferry at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
If they hadn't gotten halfway out, they would come back and get him.
They always look back, and if they see him come down, they come back and pick him up.
Are you serious?
He never was there on time. Now, can you imagine that ferry coming back and
picking somebody up now? No way.
Yeah.
In fact, there was kind of a snotty little note from the ferry people in the homeowner's paper about just for this month about making sure that people were there on time and that you couldn't expect them to hold the gate open for them.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dave, Earl's nephew, Dave, used to work on the ferry,
mm-hmm.
and they told him, said, when it comes time, you turn your back and shut the gate,
mm-hmm.
and you don't look back.
Mm-hmm. Can understand why, though. You know, you have a schedule to keep. You need to do that. But.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's right. But in those days, maybe the ferry would be empty. Maybe there'd be one car or two cars.
Right.
If they had 9 cars, they had to jiggle the last one over to get it on.
Yeah, you go that way and then run the other down through there, middle. Yeah. Everybody can get out and help to get them on there.
That's funny. So after the 9-car ferry, the Tahoma, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the Tahoma. Then there was the Islander?
No, well, the next one was an 18-car ferry.
Uh-huh.
And then from there to what they have now, I think.
I don't remember the sequence.
Yeah.
There would be people that would. I don't remember the sequence
that
of the
name. That pilot house up there.
The Pioneer was one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was Harold Hanson. We knew him real well, too. He was one of the pilots on the thing.
On the Tahoma.
Mm-hmm. Did you know Harold or Billy?
Oh, I know Billy. Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have known Harold.
No, he died a long time ago.
No.
And some of her relatives still live in that place over there where she lived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were great people, and in the photo contest this year, we did have a picture of Harold and Pete James.
Mm-hmm.
Pete James was a deckhand.
Over at the Steilacoom Dock.
At Steilacoom Dock.
My parents ran that when it was a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
between 1950 and 1955.
Oh, did they really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've got pictures of them up there too,
uh-huh.
photo contests up there with Harold Hansen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, we do have the pictures of them
in the
dock.
That's when my dad used to make hamburgers that people used to come from all over just to eat his hamburgers. He'd go to South Tacoma to a meat market and give them, grind the stuff special for him.
Uh-huh.
And then he'd make a patty like that. It wasn't anything, and he and Mom would sit there and flip hamburgers, and people would line up for him, and they even had a window out front. People could come around his front window and get, and he made coffee. I remember when coffee was a nickel a cup when
mm-hmm.
he was there.
And when he raised the price, then everybody
yeah,
screamed?
Yeah, it went up to 10 cents. Everybody else was charging 10 cents, and they were going to boycott him because he raised the 10 cents. And he had good coffee and ground his own beans and everything and
mm-hmm.
made the coffee.
Sometimes the troops would come from North Fort and come down, bunches of them, and sometimes he'd call you,
yeah.
wouldn't he, to come
yeah.
down and help him.
We lived on Old Military Road, and he'd come down there in the evening and we'd start making hamburgers. He'd,
mm-hmm.
he'd be frying them, and I'd be
assembling.
Know, assembling and putting them in sacks for him, and then they'd take sacks, and take, a lot of times they'd take pop and stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. So they had that business for 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
5 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's neat. So as far as anything else that you guys want to add or can think of that would be...
Oh, you know, we do all kinds of things. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
just... We're active people that do things.
Judging by the
yeah.
amount of stuff that you've done
yeah.
to your home?
One thing
yeah.
you might see, we won't put this on tape, but I would like to show you a little video of our family.
Okay.
That you might be interested
uh-huh.
in.
yeah, we're compulsive people,
mm-hmm.
and so when we start a collection, it becomes... a monstrosity.
Mm-hmm.
We have things
and
in the safe that we don't take out very often that we could even show you that would be...
but that's one of our interests, and I collect kachinas and raise dahlias and
mm-hmm.
and keep pretty busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got billikens, and well, she has bone dishes. She collects bone dishes. She's got over 100 different bone dishes.
Wow, neato. Yeah.
They're little dishes that you put your chicken or fish bones on.
Mm-hmm.
They sit right by your plate.
You're by your plate, right.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can be done for now.
All right. Okay.
And